Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Greg DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leigh Ann Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, it's only Tucker now. You gotta go to bed, huh?
And I love you, Greg.
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco. We got MLK Tucker now. Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's gonna be a sound bite right there. You're welcome.
This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Damn!
Oh boy, we are live. It is me. I am Greg DeMarco, and if this is Tuesday night and you're listening live, we welcome you into the Greg DeMarco Show without Patrick O'Dowd, but we'll get to that here in a mere moment. He should be back next week, provided his work schedule allows for it. You can follow me on the Twitter and really any form of social media at ChairShotGreg. Of course, this show is presented to you by TheChairShot.com and is available on the ChairShot Radio Network. ChairShot.com, of course, is your home for all wrestling news, reviews, opinions, and analysis. And there's only one way we can possibly do that.
With attitude, bitch.
And we also invite you to head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your ChairShot t-shirt. We got the Always Use Your Head shirt. We even have the ChairShot logo. There's even Steven's shirt over there. If you still want to get it, you can. Not many other people have. But you're free to welcome and get it. I know I have one because I was being nice. But I do have one of those. But like I said, there's no Patrick O'Dowd this week due to his work schedule, but he will be back next week. But we're going to have a lot of fun this week because we are bringing over the two people from the two stars of the show, Pod Is War. And Pod Is War is available end of the week, typically Thursday, sometimes Friday, occasionally Saturday, on the ChairShot Radio Network, and has been on the last couple weeks, so we're going to talk about that. But I'm going to invite in the two stars of Pod Is War to talents. There's three on the show. We have two of them on the show here today. Very first one is Mr. Velvet Pipes, the MVP of the ChairShot Radio Network himself, Christopher Platt. Platt, welcome aboard.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Do not adjust your listening devices. That is true. Those sultry tones that you are hearing are from the one, the only, Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. And I'd first and foremost like to thank El Capitan, Mr. DeMarco, for having me on this evening. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I should be thanking you for coming on. I really do appreciate it. We're going to have some fun, but anybody who listens to Pod Is War, and if you don't listen to Pod Is War, well, damn it, you should. You're missing a very, very good show. There's two voices that are battling back and forth. That's why it's war. And the other voice, of course, is that of one of the managing editors of The Chair Shot, and that is Andrew Snowflake Balls Blaz. Balls, welcome.
Yeah, aren't you happy that you gave me that nickname all those months ago?
I gave it to you, but I didn't make it famous. That would be your friend on the other side of the show right now.
That is very true. Platt has a wonderful way of just bringing that up constantly and getting it kind of over and as a dig all at the same time.
Exactly. So, and I'm sure that was your plan. Isn't that right, Platt? We lost Platt already. He must be muted.
See, this happens a lot during Pod Is War.
I'm right here. Yes. So as I was saying, first and foremost, that was my plan. Second of all, Mr. Balls, I'm a little disappointed in you, man. You were so low energy to enter it, man. I was trying to get the people excited, give them what they want, and here you come in sound like Ben Stein. What's wrong with you? You got dry eyes?
How am I supposed to follow that? I've got to find Bueller first, and then you got the Velvet Pipes coming at me. So I'm like, no, I know my place. You're the mouthpiece. I'll just kind of sit back and say a little bit, but, you know, not try to overshadow the talent. You know what I mean?
I mean, you could give it a shot. At least you could try. Is that why we're here?
I mean, this is a different show. You know, I don't exactly know why we're here. So let's not do the usual shtick and let's let Greg, you know, captain his own ship. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with all of that. So before we dive in, Patrick and I started something a few months ago. Well, we did a show that was very musical in nature, and I threatened Patrick that because he didn't have to work the next day, the show was going to go a very specific length.
All night long.
It didn't go all night long, however, I kept playing those songs all throughout. So that started the Song of the Week, and we always have a very old, very fun Song of the Week, and we've had such classics.
Oh, here she comes. She's a man eater.
A devil, he'll chew you up.
Exactly. So this is right up Platt's alley. So this week, I picked a very special Song of the Week just for the two of you.
You had one eye in the mirror, and you watched yourself survive. And all the girls seemed to they'd be your partner. They'd be your partner, and you're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain. I'll bet you think this song is about you. Don't you? Don't you? Oh, you had me several years ago when I was still quite naive.
So there we go. Just for you guys, a special little treat. Of course, those who listen to Pod is warned. Like I said, if you're not, you should be. Recognize that tune as being played at the end of almost every episode of Pod is War. So we're going to jump right in before we talk about us and everything. Those who are listening and know Pod is War will also recognize the fact that it's been, what, 2 weeks since the last episode?
I think it's been a week. I think we recorded our last show. What was it, Andrew? It was SummerSlam weekend. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did predictions for NXT and SummerSlam, so we've had one in 3 weeks. So there's some intermittency there.
That's what it was. 1 in 3 weeks. And so, you know, like I said before, this is a three-person show. And PC Tunney, formerly the program director of the Chairshot Radio Network, now still executive producing shows for the network, including Pod is War. You know, we're giving him a little bit of time, and in full transparency, we're going to share that. We're giving him a little bit of time to figure some things out and see. But the show will continue. The show must go on, and we will figure that out. However, given the little break that we have, I wanted the opportunity for Chris and Andrew to come on here and have some fun. So, but just to make sure people know, because Andrew and Chris are the stars of the show, and that's the way it was designed. And Pod is War was a joint effort between Tony and myself, came up with the show. It's kind of like one of those things where we both had the same idea, just separately. And so we were doing it. When we first talked about it, it was like boom, boom, back and forth, because we were both on the same page, knew we wanted Platt, knew we needed somebody who can go against Platt. That was, of course, Balls. And it really took off from there. Tony does a lot of work in the back end to make that show what it is, despite the stars of the show being Chris and Andrew. So as we give them some time, I wanted to make sure that Chris and Andrew kind of get their time. And so we're going to have some fun this week. And it's really a conversation that even Patrick and I don't have too often on this show. And so I wanted to have it with the three of us. And Patrick, well, he's too busy for us, so he can sit back and relax. When he listens to this, if he actually chooses to, and gets really jealous. A lot of people don't understand.
Before we start, I just have to say, man, get well soon. And I think it's very brave, man, because getting your tubes tied, I'm here, it could be a very scary operation. So I just wanted to get well soon. Our thoughts and our prayers on behalf of Chair Shot Podcast or Chair Shot Radio Network. I just want to let you know, Pat, that our thoughts and prayers are with you, and we hope you get well soon, bro.
Take the fish.
I used to have a soundbite that I actually got rid of. Out of respect, I guess, is the best way to put it. I might actually try to find it and upload it during this show, just because it's really appropriate after what you just said. So, and anybody who's been around knows what I'm talking about, and I'm going to try to find it. But while we're doing that, I wanted the opportunity for people to understand, because everybody gets into wrestling for a different reason, and it's sometimes interesting to learn why we got into professional wrestling, because we all come from a very, very different place. So I wanted the people to learn about us and how we got into the world of professional wrestling. So Balls, let's start with you. Like, how do we get here for you? What got you started on this crazy thing? And then we'll kind of talk about how we all came to be at the Chair Shot as well. But for starters, Balls, how'd you end up doing this?
Well, I was born a poor black child. No, wait, that was the jerk. I'm sorry, that was Steve Martin and the jerk. I'm sorry. I get that confused once
in
a while.
Hey, man, I was born middle class, man. Get out of here.
Good for you. Now I'm jealous. Now I don't want to talk. I feel insecure.
Yes,
but
that's my
no, I mean, it might be. You just said you were born middle class. You brought it up. I didn't know these things.
All right,
but,
well, lower
still,
middle class, if we're being honest. So, you know, I was on the cusp.
Oh, okay. That makes me feel a little better. Okay, thank you.
All right.
But, no, so I grew up with my grandfather, and he was big into, not like huge into wrestling, but he knew enough of it. And the Hulk Hogan, the Bruno Sammartino, the Anthony Naraka, and Flair. So growing up, I had a decent amount of it on in the background, and I can't exactly pinpoint like what it was, like the first match or the first thing that caught my eye. But as I was kind of trying to go back in my head and just think about like my earliest memories, I remember having the old, like the almost like the rubberish kind of figurines for like Sting and Flair from like old school WCW.
Oh, yeah.
I think they had like circa 1991 on it or 92. And I had the hell did they call them? The little teddy bears that were dressed up like people. Like I had the Ultimate Warrior
the
teddy bear.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The wrestling buddies. That's what they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wrestling buddies. So I had the Ultimate Warrior wrestling buddy, but I had a whole bunch of WCW, NWA, kind of like little toys around. So I have a feeling that I just watched a lot of like Saturday Night Main Event or something like that as a kid and just kind of fell backwards into it. And the first real fan moment that I can remember having as a child was I was about 10 years old when the NWO thing happened. And that completely shattered my world. Like, I remember going into my room and finding Hulk Hogan toys and breaking them and like just throwing them in the trash because Hulk Hogan's a bad guy. So like my world was turned upside down, and I watched out of spite hoping that somebody beat the hell out of him. But yeah, I guess that was the crowning achievement on fandom when I took it that hard that it upset me and I broke toys over it.
So just to, since we're diving in and we're having fun here, just to let people know, because there's always things that a lot of people have in common. You talked about growing up with your grandfather. Was it just your grandfather, or did you also grow up with the rest of your family?
How do I put this?
I went in hard right there, didn't I?
A little
you
bit,
did.
Yeah.
You
went
all Dr.
Like,
Phil on him there, yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Let me go lay down on my couch first, and
I'm
I can
sorry.
Tell you like how I feel and how old I am.
So,
but,
Andrew, how did you feel about the relationship with your grandfather?
That was my Dr. Phil. It didn't sound anything like it, but I went for it. It didn't work out. They can't all be winners.
Thanks,
folks,
bud. So suffice to say, giving the abridged version, let's just say my mother was not exactly the best of people, and drugs and bad choices kind of had her go back to my grandfather for help because she got pregnant and had no clue who the father was. So there's that fun time. And then she kind of up and left at some point. So, yeah, it was an interesting upbringing, to put it lightly. So when I say my grandfather raised me, it was mostly all him because at best she was like a retarded older sister instead of a mother figure.
Well, hey, you know what? We all come from different places. You know, I was the product of such bad communication that I once assumed that I was like a mistake and asked my mom, "Hey, did you plan me?" And my mom was like, "Oh, I planned you." So that explains that story, and why my parents.
That also explains your bad communication too.
Hey, you shut up.
That's funny though. You say that, Greg, since we're getting deep on here. I mean, number one, most black children are unplanned. Like, I'm just kind of throwing that out there. Number two, I have the exact same story as you, Greg. Like, as far as my mother was concerned, I was planned. She just didn't necessarily let my father know the plan. So yeah, kind of. And I'm also the product of Luther Vandross, Cavassier, and cocaine. But I can't get mad because I'm here. So we here now.
That's
so,
exactly
so,
right.
No need
That's
to
how
cry
I look
over,
at it, too.
Yeah.
You know, we,
no need to
we're
cry
all
over
here.
Non-used birth control pills, so, you know.
Exactly. We all got here somehow. And you know, we're all a product of that upbringing. It's all made us one very specific way.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about.
You
so,
keep playing
so
that now, song, I'm going to think the show's over, Greg.
I know. You'll be okay. You're a pro. You can do it. Don't you remember? This is not Pod is Warm.
This is my yard now.
This is my show.
Pop.
Okay. So, Platt, how'd you get into wrestling? Tell us that story.
You know, it's funny. I was probably about seven or eight, and my mother had a friend by the name of Rashid, and he had a son, and he was taking care of a nephew that were around my age. They might have been a year or two older than me, but anywho, I went and I spent the night at his house one evening, and it was a Saturday night, and Saturday night's main event was on. And obviously, I was familiar with pro wrestling, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't really watch it like that. And Rashid was talking to his nephew and his son, and he was asking him, "Well, who's that guy? Who's that guy?" And they knew them all. And, you know, I'm this little kid. And I don't know anybody. So it'd be like, "Who's that guy? Big Boss Man." And then, you know, 2 seconds later, I'd chime in, "Big Boss Man." You know what I mean? And they'd make fun of me and stuff like that. And I said, you know what? Damn it. I was humiliated, man. It wasn't that serious. But as an 18-year-old, I was devastated. So I said, okay, I'm not going to let that happen again. So I started watching. And I think the first show I watched, I started picking up on the Superstars on Saturday mornings. It came on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock where I was at. And I started watching that. And then the Survivor Series came on, and it was emanating from Richfield Coliseum, which actually was in Cleveland, which is where I'm from. And it came on free. Like, so Thanksgiving night, we're sitting around the television, we turn it on, and I see wrestling on, and I wouldn't let anybody change it. So I sat there and watched the entire Survivor Series. So fast forward a little bit, we finally ended up getting cable, so then I could watch Superstars, and then I could also watch the Monday night show on USA, and then when they started doing the Saturday morning show, I would do that. So then around 9 years old, we relocated to Virginia. I was already low-key hooked then, but then we moved to Virginia, and we had this public access channel. So basically it was PBS, but it wasn't PBS. And I was a latchkey kid growing up. My mother worked late. Typically she wouldn't get off work till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. So I had to, you know, like cook for myself and stuff like that and make sure I didn't burn down the house. So television is really my third parent. So every day, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock, this public access channel would play a different wrestling promotion. So Mondays it was USWA, Tuesdays it was WCW, Wednesdays it was AWA, Thursdays it was WWF at the time, and then Fridays it was the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. So I just went there and I watched this, and I got so immersed in this world, and I was just hooked. So everybody that came up, like through the late 80s, early 90s, like I literally saw everybody. Like, I've got stories about everybody. I know guys before they were even somebody. And as I'm prone to do, if I take a liking to something, I want to know everything I can possibly know about it. So I would go back and I just wanted to see everything and kind of just – I just was totally immersed in this world. So anytime I got my hands on a little bit of money, I would go to Blockbuster Video and I would rent all the WrestleManias, all the Starcades, all the pay-per-views that really matter. I would go to the grocery store and I would buy the pro wrestling magazines, which they all seem to have – a picture of Bloody Abdullah the Butcher with a fork hanging out his mouth on the cover. Like, all of them seem to have that, you know, and then they had the rankings from the different federations and stuff like that. And, yeah, I was just so – I just got so immersed in this world. I just loved it. Like, even when I found out that it wasn't real, that it was simulated combat, it didn't matter. I was just – I was in it. And fast forward a little bit, when I got old enough to contribute to the household, I made sure that – I took the responsibility on me, like, I'll pay the cable bill, because I wanted to be able to order all the wrestling pay-per-views and not have anybody say anything to me about it, because I'm paying this bill, so you can kiss my ass, so I'm going to buy what I want to buy, right? But, yeah, so, but, long story short, yeah, that's how I got into it, man. I just really fell in love with the art form, and to get a little intellectual about it, other than jazz and hip-hop, I would say that professional wrestling is the greatest American art form in history.
I have a close friend who I worked with in Connecticut who had studied theater at the University of Miami in Florida, which actually has a well-known theater program. And their, like, main big faculty guy who's known in the theater industry actually would say that professional wrestling was America's greatest form of dramatic theater. So, and that's coming from a theater person. So I'm going to take it as for what it's worth. Great point there, though. For me, we've never really talked on this show. We talked a little bit here and there about how I came to love the world of professional wrestling, but I want to take you guys on a journey just a little bit backwards. The date was November 18th, 2012, and three guys walked down the aisleway, and one of them just had this long black hair, wore this vest nice and tight, and I just couldn't help but get excited and fell in love with wrestling.
Roman!
That was the night the Shield debuted, of course. And that's what the internet would have you believe. I actually started watching wrestling before the first WrestleMania, like shortly before the first WrestleMania. I would watch it when I would visit my dad, because my parents, like I said, got divorced when I was one. So I would watch it with my dad on the MSG Network, because, you know, growing up on Long Island, we had the MSG Network. So I would see shows from Madison Square Garden. I actually watched on television, you know, the replay of – you know, Superfly Jimmy Snuka diving off the top of the cage and things of that nature, and kind of fell in love with wrestling that way. Started watching WWF at home, and I enjoyed it, and I still remember. My sister was 8 years older than me. She had a boyfriend at the time who I'm watching it, and he was just like, you know that shit's fake, right? And I kind of freaked out on the inside, but tried to play it cool on the outside, like I totally knew it was fake. But I was just a little destroyed for about a day or two there. But you know, then still wanted to watch it, obviously still loved it, but I didn't really fully decide that, you know, this is probably what I was going to spend the rest of my life watching, until I was flipping through the channels and happened to cross the Superstation TBS and caught the NWA, and it was just so different and a little more violent, and actually looked a little more real to me in the way it was presented, and just fell in love all over again, and was a fan ever since. And so I can, you know, basically count how long I've been watching by WrestleManias, which makes it really easy for me. So I'm coming up on 35 years. I've been watching wrestling longer than probably both of you have been alive, now that I think about it.
Yeah, actually, when you put it like that, yeah. Cause but it's funny that you brought up NWA, WCW, because I think that's one common thread that we all share here, because we were all NWA/WCW marks, and I think it's all for the same reason, because they actually presented it as a legitimate sport. And I think that's what kind of drew us in, because I've always been a huge sports fan, and that's what kind of attracted me to the NWA/WCW as opposed to WWE, which was always a little more over the top, a little more cartoonish, and more style over substance.
I mean, it was where the big boys played, so what is that?
Exactly. It's funny because I was the same way. When I went to college at Virginia Tech, the first three of my 4 years there, our cable, you know, college cable's kind of hit or miss, and you just never know what you're going to get on a college campus. We didn't have USA Network, and so I didn't get to watch Raw. I followed online. I used to read what was a GeoCity site at the time, think back way back then, called 411 Wrestling, and you know, which of course became 411 Mania, where I'd eventually start writing many years later. But I would follow along Raw that way, but I would watch Nitro, because Nitro started during my freshman year of college. And so that, to me, was exactly how I, you know, maybe sophomore year. I got to go back. No, it's freshman. I got to look at the years. And so I just, you know, would watch Nitro live a lot more. We finally got Raw or USA Network, but to me it was Raw because that's all I would watch on it. My senior year of college, and it was just so exciting to actually have, you know, WWE on television, or WWF at the time, on television in college. So swinging things around a little bit, and this time we'll let Platt start. How did you end up doing anything with thechairshot.com? Because I know it's a different story for all of us. And Platt, I know you kind of got sucked in. How did you get involved with the website?
Well, first and foremost, Mr. DeMarco, if the only thing that you watched as a kid on USA was Raw, you missed out on a lovely show by the name of Silk Stockings that actually came on after WWE.
I didn't watch Silk Stockings because it was on. How could you not?
Fair enough. Yeah, shout out to Silk Stockings. Shout out to Shannon Tweed also. She used to have those low-budget Skinamax suspense thrillers where she'd always get naked and have sex like three or four times. Shout out to her as well. I actually truly believe, this is a shoot, I believe I've seen Shannon Tweed's breast more than her husband, Gene Simmons. So shout out to Shannon Tweed, man. Like, really, this buds to you, sweetie. But anywho, so how I got hooked up with the chair shot. So initially, again, obviously, I've always been, you know, a pro wrestling fan. And my lady, who is still my lady, it'll be 5 years coming up in September, which is, wow, I never thought I could commit that long and not be unfaithful. So, you know, kudos to me for that. If DP was here, he'd ring the bell on that one. But so I met her. And she,
I can play something else for you. You know what I could play for you? This doesn't really apply, but I did find it.
You have a vagina!
There we go.
It does kind of apply, at least in my mind. Like, I feel like I've traded my balls. And, like, you know, I mean, it's kind of hard, you know, to keep your pimp card when your lady comes up to you like, baby, did you take your zinc today? You know what I mean? Did you get your melatonin today, baby? Like, it's kind of hard to maintain your pimp card when that's your life now.
Patrick's going to be so mad at me. We swore that soundbite off a long time ago, and I just brought it back for you guys. So
I appreciate it. Thank you. But, okay, so, so my lady, she worked with this crazy-ass dude, but she told me that he was a wrestling fan as well because I got her into wrestling. She started watching it because she liked me. And then, you know, through Total Divas, she actually was able to kind of get into it, and she got into the characters, and now she's a fan as well. But she had this crazy-ass coworker by the name of Danny Hudman, also known as Hardcore, and he just thought that we should meet because we were just big wrestling fans. So this is when I was living out in Arizona. We met at this Mexican restaurant out in Tempe. I don't remember the name. Really doesn't matter. But and we sat there, you know, taking shots back and drinking and shooting, you know, shooting the shit and. We talked probably for about 3 or 4 hours, and I was impressed because I had never been around that many people that had that depth of wrestling knowledge as I do. Because, like I said, I'm a student of the game. Like, even the stuff I didn't watch, I made sure I went back to watch it just so I know what it is because I just loved it. And we just were fast friends after that. So we were sitting around, fast forward to WrestleMania 31 out in the Bay, and we're sitting around outside the WrestleTown Hotel. They let us drink out there, so we're just drinking and chopping it up, and we're talking to people that are, you know, walking by and whatnot. And one of us just finally says, hey, man, we need to do this as a podcast. Why not? So it was Danny, it was myself, and also Big John Brott, who was lifelong friends with Danny as well. And we started a show called The Wrestling Happy Hour. And we actually, and this is actually how I met Greg. He was actually a guest on one of our shows. Like, Danny hooked it up, and he was a guest on one of our shows, and that's when I initially met Greg.
Mm-hmm.
He did that probably for about a year, and then you know how these things are prone to do. Sometimes things fade out, people get burnt out, and, you know, don't want to do it anymore, or, you know, life gets in the way, or whatever it was. So we shut it down. Now, I had been on the DWI podcast a couple of times, and, you know, great guys, PC Tunney, DPP, always had a ball anytime I went on there. And anytime they called or texted me or tweeted me or something like that and said, hey, man, you want to come on? It's like, yeah, because I have a ball with you guys. So, you know, I reached out to them, and, you know, I wasn't even looking to really get back into the game, but I just told them, just being silly, you know how I am, you know, the hottest free agent on the market and this and that. And I get a DM from PC Tunney. He's like, you know, what happened to the happy hour? You know, I explained the story to him, and he calls me, and he's like, well, man, we'd love to have you aboard on DWI. So, you know, these guys, and I'm going to forever have love for PC and DPP because they opened their platform up to me with open arms and just allowed me to do what I do. So in the midst of that, you know, I reconnected with Greg and Dave from Attitude of Aggression and a couple other guys, and you know, they told me of the plans of this, you know, this mass hostile takeover, if you will, known as the chairshot.com, and asked me if I'd like to be involved. And I said, hell yeah, why not? Like, I love doing this. Like, I love just getting on the air and just talking this shit. So, you know, long story short, the rest, as we say, is history.
And, of course, if anybody doesn't know, when you listen to this show or pretty much any show on the Chairshot Radio Network, you hear something that sounds like this.
The chairshot.com. Always use your head.
And, of course, that would be you, Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. So you make
right
everybody
on,
jealous.
Right on.
But you were born with it, so nothing wrong with that. So Andrew's got a little bit of a different.
Blame Bobby Walker, man. R.I.P.
Andrew got a little bit of a different story about how he got involved, and maybe he kind of probably he figured things were going to go the way you described things go a lot of times with stuff like this. So Andrew, I won't steal too much of your thunder now. Tell your version.
Oh yeah, because we've had this talk personally a couple times, but there's been occasions in the past where I tried to start writing for a website or just try to work with somebody, and then they'd flake out or life would get in the way or they'd burn out or whatever interesting, you know, words you want to put in there to describe things. And honestly, I just saw a random Facebook post from Greg in one of the groups I happen to be in about, you know, oh yeah, we're looking for writers. And it was Yes Wrestling at the time. So I'm like, all right, let me see like what this is about. So I contacted Greg. We had a little bit of a talk. I submitted like a test article just to kind of also see where his head was at. Cause since I didn't know Greg from a hole in the ground, I was just like, okay, how much of a mark is he? So I made sure that the topic wasn't exactly like IWC fodder. Cause if he came back with, what the fuck do you mean? Like, this is shit. I'm like, all right, you're a retard. I'm done with you. But then Greg was just like, no, this is actually pretty good. Like, we can set you up and we can do this. I'm like, all right, that's a step. Like, I didn't expect that. And it literally went from a shot in the dark. And, you know, Greg probably thought I was going to flake out at some point also. But we went from kind of waiting for the other one to just break in a weird kind of way. And then it turned into Yes, turned into Chair Shot, turned into I started doing the weekly reviews or the top five matches of the week kind of thing, and some show reviews and the star ratings and snowflake ratings, as Greg, you know, monikered. And here we are a little over a year later. And I'm like, damn, Greg hasn't ran away yet. And I know his number now. So he can't really run away unless he gets a new phone. So, gotcha.
Even then, I'd have to like get off social media. Like, it'd be really hard for me to get away without saying something. So, that'd be a little difficult to do. So, no, and I'm glad that both of you did get in that way. It's funny because when I appeared on the show with Hardcore, who was trying to get involved with PHX Wrestling at the time, which is why I was on there, and I remember talking about PHX and we're promoting and everything's real straight-laced and we're having a great conversation about it, and we finished talking about PHX, we started talking about WWE, and I'm kind of like in promoter mode, like I didn't want to say anything bad, and the subject of Nikki Bella comes up, and I don't know exactly what I said, but knowing me, it had something to do with eating ass, and I remember because it was Platt was the one that was like, now we're talking, and he got all excited. So things just changed from there. So it was definitely a fun experience and one. And then of course I remember when I would listen to DWI and I was like, hey, that's the guy from the other show. And so that's when Tunney kind of told me what was going on there. Tunney, honestly, it's funny because we always talk about people flaking out and everything else. The Chair Shot is literally my fifth wrestling website. I got started at 411 Mania as a writer and you know, sent a sample in. And I sent a sample in of things that I'd written previously, so it wasn't even a recent sample. And I'm pretty sure in the sample I, like, referred to 411 Mania as, like, the Evil Empire, like they were the New York Yankees or something. And just didn't – I remember after I said it, I was like, oh, well, I guess that's not going to happen. You know, because I realized the article that I would send them. But Larry reached back out to me and was like, hey, we want to give you this article. And it was taking over the Wrestling 5-1, a fairly popular column for the website. So I got to come in a primo spot and just kind of took it and owned it as my own. And with the first edition of it, people were just like, they were either like, we love this guy or we hate this guy. And I think at that point I realized I was onto something. And I used to have it out with the commenters. I've told this story before, but at one point, Ashish Pabari, who runs 411 Mania, sent an email to the entire writing staff. Because the commenters, you know the internet. You get to hide behind a keyboard and say whatever you want. And this was before they were using Disqus for their commenting. So it was super like you just made up any name and you started commenting. You didn't need an email address or anything. And he actually got so bad, he sent an email to the entire staff that was like, moving forward, no one is allowed to engage the commenters except Greg Marco. He actually gave me permission and put it in the email, and I should find that email. It's years ago at this point because I started writing there in 2010 after I finally decided to give it a go. But I started multiple different websites, and like Andrew said, real life got in the way at different points and became too much. But when Yes was going well and I knew I wanted to establish a better brand than that and came up with the Chair Shot, it was actually PC Tunney who in multiple conversations was like, hey, you can do this. You know, he talked me off the ledge at different points. And so if it wasn't for him, we would not have Pot is War. We would not have the Chair Shot. And so that's why, you know, we get a chance to do this show here today and kind of have some fun. So it's always interesting to me because we all come from a different spot, but we all get to kind of the same common goal, same common ground. And hopefully at some point, you know, different people have met each other. I know at the past WrestleMania, Platt, you got to hang out with Dave from Attitude of Aggression. I really am looking forward to the time that everybody gets together because that's just going to be probably a lot of trouble, but also a lot of fun.
And you know what's funny, Greg, because I remember that conversation. I remember, you know, when you came on the Wrestling Happy Hour that you were in promoter mode. And I think I kind of called you out on that too, just, you know, tongue in cheek. But I knew what you were doing. And you sidestepped it very well. You kept it professional and this and that. But then, yeah, once we got to the ass-eating the content, yeah, it was all better off at that point, and we just had a really good time.
And it's funny because now you fast forward over a year, you know, a year plus later, and you know, and Andrew knows, and everybody knows that I am a complete and total asshole who does stuff like this.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
It's time to get off.
Balls, that was for you.
It would be redundant for me to message you this time, right?
It would be. Every time I play that, the first time on a show, I usually get a message from Balls telling me how long it took to play it. So today was 37 minutes, which might be a record since I started doing
it. I think
that.
It is a record for you since you started doing it, yes.
Well, we had good things to talk about. So, you know, it's what it is. You know, it's all in, you know, all in good fun. It's all.
Can I ask you guys a quick question?
Yes.
Okay, because I in the background, I'm barely paying attention, but I have the Triple G Canelo Alvarez HBO 24/7 show on, which, number one, 24/7 is an awesome show. If you guys have never watched it, I suggest you check it out. But how do you guys see this rematch going? I know it's coming up in a few weeks here. I think it's September 15th. The first fight was awesome, and it was so close. Like, I can't be mad at the draw because every single round was just so close. I really couldn't pick a winner. But how do you guys see this rematch popping off?
Andrew, you're going to have to go first. You might as well be talking about quantum physics right now.
You're not a boxing guy.
I'm not, and I should be, but I'm not. It's funny because I remember as a kid, we used to watch it all the time. I used, you know, the old school boxer. Remember when it would be on TV, you know, Marvelous Marvin Hagler. And it just didn't, you know, it never carried through. I think once I started watching UFC, boxing just went away for me.
Ah. Well, this is the one to get you back into it, man, because their first fight was a classic, and it ended up in a draw. A lot of people thought it was controversial, but honestly, I watched it, and I thought that was fair. Like, I personally, I couldn't tell who won the fight. At the end of the 12 rounds, I had no idea who won the fight. So I thought the draw was apropos. Plus, it's a good idea because you can get the money again. Because personally, I think Canelo Alvarez is the best in the world right now, with all due respect to everybody out there. And Triple G is box office. You know, he's a heavy puncher, and he knocks people to fluck out. And, you know, that's that ain't get you over. So I'm looking forward to this rematch. But, Balls, do you have any comments on this, or am I just basically just talking to myself?
No, I follow boxing kind of in the periphery.
What you
but...
think.
Sorry, I
thank
was doing that.
You
know.
Thank you. I've been trying to tell them that the whole show. The whole pod is
Patrick
more
isn't here. That's the only why. That's the only reason. Greg is just like, I need to catch somebody up. But, no, like, I mean, I'm aware of it. I followed it a little bit. And I know Canelo's got a little bit more of a star power to him because he's in the commercials. He's a little better with the schmoozing and trying to actually make himself into a brand. So I kind of like to see that continue because of the exactly why Greg doesn't care. Because there hasn't been anything, like, really big and sexy in boxing in a while. Like, you know, Mayweather... He's what, 51-0, 50-0, or whatever it was after the McGregor fight? But everybody bitched about his style, and it wasn't.
Do you count the Big Show fight? Because if you count the Big Show match, he's 51-0.
Okay, so regardless, it's over 50, which is impressive. I'm not even going to validate that. But what I'm getting is everybody bitched about Mayweather's style.
I just want to point out that I enjoyed that.
You like that?
I did.
That was entertaining as hell. Are you kidding me?
It was sports
me?
Entertainment.
Whole, the way they put it, yeah, it really was. It was entertaining.
I hated that match, but
of course you
that's
did.
Not the point. That's not the what I was getting at. People
but
bitched
if
about
it was
Mayweather's
Tokyo,
style.
No, he would have loved it.
You know, I was waiting for you to
all
say
right.
that because I was going to give you the ammunition too.
Hey, you bootleg Meltzer. If it was in the Tokyo Dome, you would have gave
whoa,
it a 18 snowflakes.
No,
I said
relax.
It's about to cry 2 tears in a bucket.
Relax.
I should just call you a bootleg Meltzer. God.
He did. I don't think he noticed that I rated a Triple Mania match higher than a Japanese match this past week. And it's not like I go, oh my God, they eat rice and they speak with funny accents. Five stars. No, I don't fucking do that. You know that. Don't give me this crap busting my balls over bootleg Meltzer fucking, like, fucking stop it, Japanophile crap.
Wow.
Anyway. See, and
really?
Now this isn't
so,
edited either.
So, so you're going to allow me to bait you into alienating your entire fan base. Okay, cool. Anyway, what were you saying?
Why is it alienating and who's baiting? Like, everybody who reads my stuff should know that I'm fairly non-biased. Like, do I dislike certain wrestlers because I don't like them? Yes, but I give everybody a rub. I mean, come on.
You're non-biased.
Fucking Shane Strickland and Matt Riddle was the number one match a couple weeks ago. But when I'm covering the G1, or in this case, the Stardom 5-Star Grand Prix, I'm obviously going to be more involved in that because I'm covering it, so I'm going to pay more attention to it. It's the same thing as you with boxing. We're not covering it. You're more into that, so you know more about the boxers. I'm just like, hey, Canelo, I see him more often. He's a good fighter. Triple G's a good fighter. I'm going to pull for Canelo just because they can make a brand out of it and they can go somewhere. But I don't have the breadth of knowledge that you do on boxing. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know you're trying to justify your bias against the E. That's cool. Whatever, man, it's your journey.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, don't act like you don't. Admitting is the first step to recovery, Balls. I'm just saying. There's a
That's
reason
nice.
That they
when I have something to admit, you'll be the first one to know, Bubba.
It's the reason they just drew $1 billion from Fox TV, bro. So you might want to get on board.
You know, it's a really good. The point. Did you get to answer the question fully, Andrew? Before I transition, I just want to make sure you got to say your piece on boxing.
I said enough, and I think we're good. So we can transition that because that was a decent segue.
This is my yard now.
So it is a perfect segue, actually. And as we were talking about this show, Platt did toss out a few topics, and I wanted to leave most of them for Pot is War because I'm jumping forward with the impression that there'll be Pot is War this week. And I want there to be because, selfishly, I enjoy listening to the show. So, but I really loved one topic that Platt put out, and it was asking about who was the true face of the WWE. And, of course, there's really two options at this point. One of them was the man whose voice you just heard, and that is the current Universal Champion, Roman Reigns. But the other one is the current Raw Women's Champion, which is, of course, former UFC Women's Champion, and that is Ronda Rousey. And it's a very interesting question to talk about because it's you know, there's a lot of arguments you can make on both sides. And Platt, it was your topic, so I'll let you kind of kick things off here. But this is an important discussion wrestling fans need to have about the face of the WWE and where Ronda compares to Roman.
You know, Greg, it really is an interesting topic, and it's fascinating. And frankly, we could have spent the entire show talking about this. Like, there's just so much meat on those bones. Personally, just my personal opinion, I think that they are positioning Ronda, at least for the time being. I do believe that they're positioning Ronda to be the face of the company. And with all due respect to Roman, I think he's kind of, I don't want to say he's taking a step back. I think when it comes to the Shield, they understand that the sum is greater than the parts. And now they're in a position where they're presenting them as an ensemble, as the face of the company. You know what I mean? And which is a good thing because you've got 3 hours to fill every Monday night. So why not have three guys that you can spread throughout the show? And they can all have their different agendas. They can all have their different feuds and their different matches and stuff like that. And then when the situation calls for it, they can form like Voltron. And they're going to be over like Rover. I mean, they always have been. They've probably been the hottest homegrown act that WWE has created since I don't know when. So, you know, so no disrespect to them, but I really do feel as if they're positioning Ronda as the face of the company, and there's a lot of extenuating factors that go into that that makes it make perfect sense. Number one, the average age of the WWE viewer here in this country is like 50-some-odd years old. I think it's more than 50, but you get what I'm saying. So I feel like from a male perspective, everybody that watches wrestling right now has always watched wrestling, and they're going to continue to watch wrestling. And I don't know how fruitful it would be to mine for gold in that particular genre of people. Now, when it comes to the women, women are hot right now. Like, you know, that's a hot button topic. You know, not just WWE, but there's a lot of companies and corporations out there that are finally starting to wake up and realize, like, you know, hey, women make money too. And maybe if we project to them or present a product to them or something that they can relate to, they might want to spend some money with us as well. And I feel like WWE is in a great position to do that with the Women's Revolution. We've got the first ever all-women's pay-per-view coming up here in October. And they're in a really good position to take advantage of that market. And I hate to say take advantage because it sounds like it's manipulative, but let's keep it a buck, man. It's a corporation. It's a business. They're all manipulative at some level or another. That doesn't mean positive can't come out of it. That's just the nature of the beast, right? You got to make money, so you got to go where the money's at.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they have an opportunity to really bolster their future here by putting the women in the forefront because there's a lot of young girls out there that need positive role models and that are searching for positive role models. And why not have these larger-than-life personalities, the same thing that attracted us to the business initially, these larger-than-life personalities that went out there, they kicked ass, they took names, and that's what got us hooked. You can do the same thing with the young girls out there and then pray and hope that they grow with the company just like we grew with the company and they ultimately become lifelong fans. You put them out there, you put some of those women out there to be role models towards them, and then you hope that once they hit puberty, maybe they might look and say, oh, Roman Reigns, he's cute, or this guy or that guy, and then they continue on, and then they continue and they just become lifelong fans. So I feel like a fan base that WWE has failed to tap into, and I feel like they're trying to do that now. And they're taking baby steps. They're moving in the right direction. Again, still, we still need some women agents in the back, you know, in the backstage. We still need some women writers that can actually write from a woman's perspective and tell those stories, you know, in the right way. We still need that. It's baby steps. But I feel like they're moving in the right direction with the pay-per-view and with the way that they're positioning Ronda. And now, big picture, it makes perfect sense for them to position Ronda as their attraction because she is their top attraction. She has the most mainstream value. Like, how many times is Roman Reigns going to lead off SportsCenter? I mean, I know they do have that weird connection with ESPN where they had, you know, interview segments and they do talk about wrestling here and there, but Ronda is a proven commodity. She was box office in USC, and you have no reason to think that that's going to change when she gets to WWE. And, you know, talking aside, which I'm assuming she's going to get better at that, she seems to be a natural in the ring. So why not her as your top star? And I feel like that's what they're doing right now. I really think that as of right now, Things might change. They might change tomorrow. They might change next week. They might change next month. But as of right now, I feel like they have positioned Ronda Rousey to be their top star. And I think that's where we're heading towards WrestleMania as well. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Charlotte and Ronda Rousey close out the show in the Bright Lights Big City of New York.
Interesting. It's an interesting question that we can definitely get to as we get closer to WrestleMania. That's for sure. Andrew, what do you think about the Ronda versus Roman comparison?
It's interesting. And the words that Plett used definitely it brings up a question to me, because does your biggest star make them the face of your franchise? And I say this from a sports perspective. Let's think of it this way. Brett Favre, face of the Packers franchise, even though when he went to the Jets for that 1 year and the Vikings for those 2 years, it was still big box office. Everybody got that jersey. Everybody wanted to see him succeed, but he wasn't the face of the Vikings or the Jets. And you have Wayne Gretzky when he went from the Oilers to the Kings. People still know him more as an Oiler, even though they had, he was like 8 years on the Kings, 10 years on the Oilers, a couple more championships on the Oilers, but it's not like he was ever bad. And you can just continue that whole assessment of star power versus face of your franchise. And we can even go wrestling. When WCW brought Hogan over in 94, Sting was still the face of the franchise. Sting was still WCW's Hogan. But now that Hogan was there and then Macho Man followed up, Sting's still the face, but Hogan's the biggest draw because he's the biggest name potential, or whatever you want to call it. So Ronda is the biggest star. I'm not arguing that fact at all. But when it comes down to face of something, Ronda's the face of her brand. When people think Ronda Rousey, they think UFC. They think possibly they think actress if the first time they saw her was in one of those that movie with Sylvester Stallone. What the hell were they called?
You really think that the first time somebody was familiar with Ronda Rousey was through those shitty Expendables movies, which I loved, by the way.
Oh, Expendables. There we go.
Like, yeah, I love those.
There's some people that don't know.
Come on, man.
There's people that don't follow combat sports, so they have to get introduced to somebody some way. And Ronda has that ability that she transcends combat sports. She's in movies. There's another movie coming out. Now she's in wrestling. Ronda is her own brand. She can't really, in my mind, be the face of WWE when you don't affiliate her with WWE, especially when she's only been there for 8 months. Like, when you think Ronda Rousey, you don't think WWE Women's Champion. You don't think wrestler. You think UFC. When you think Roman Reigns, even if you think, wow, he's overrated or he's related to The Rock, it still connects it to WWE. It still connects it into the wrestling wheelhouse. You still know wrestling, Roman Reigns, there we go. You know, Charlotte, Flair, wrestling, boom, there we go. That's the faces of WWE. Ronda may be the biggest draw right now, but I think we need to give it more time to see if she becomes more of a wrestler and more of a WWE commodity, or if she's just using this to bolster her personal brand and this will just not a launching point, but just something else for her to sweep up under the Ronda Rousey umbrella from movies and UFC to God knows what else she wants to do. And of course, you know, bronze medal in the Olympics. I can't forget that one, but Ronda is her own monster kind of.
So you do realize that you inadvertently proved my point there. Like, the face of the company is the top draw. Like, that's what this is. I mean, yes, Brett Favre was the face of the Vikings because he was the hottest commodity and the biggest name, just like when he went with the Jets. The Jets hadn't had a name since Joe Namath, dude. So, of course, Brett Favre was the biggest Jet that they had. Now, bringing it back to...
You're trying to tell me that Favre was bigger than Adrian Peterson when he was on the Vikings for 2 years?
Yes. He most certainly was. Yes. Brett Favre was the draw. Because if Brett Favre wasn't there, especially that year that they damn near went to the Super Bowl, Adrian Peterson would just be running backs or a dime a dozen, man. Like, you know, it could have been anybody. You don't know what Le'Veon Bell looks like.
I mean, wait, what's that? Yes, I know what Le'Veon Bell looks like. Ben
the
Roethlisberger and
fan.
Antonio Brown are.
The average fan doesn't know what Le'Veon Bell looks like, man. And bringing it back to the topic at hand, man, talking about professional wrestling, man. Let's go back to the 80s. there might have been people that, well, obviously not might have been, but there were people that didn't necessarily follow pro wrestling, but they knew who Hulk Hogan was. Fast forward that to the 90s. There's people that don't follow wrestling, but they knew who The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin were. Hell, there were people that even knew who Goldberg was that didn't follow wrestling. Like, that is your brand. And then going back to WCW, yes, Sting was the quote-unquote franchise, but when Hogan got there, he drew the money. And coincidentally enough, or not coincidentally enough, that's when WCW had their biggest success. And I feel like Ronda does that now. And I feel like it's like, okay, we know Ronda Rousey. Oh, she's wrestling now? I might want to tune into that and see what that's talking about. And then, you know, you come for Ronda, and then hopefully you stay for, you know, for Seth Rollins and Roman and KO and Braun and everybody else. But Ronda is going to get different eyeballs to this product, or even eyeballs that used to be into this product and kind of lapse, like, you know, sometimes wrestling fans do. But when they hear, oh, Ronda Rousey's wrestling now, I've got to check that out.
You know, it's interesting.
That's possible, but also think Hogan took 2 years for him to actually really skyrocket WCW, because when he came in 94, they weren't doing great business. People were a little sick of the red and yellow, and then he had to do the heel turn of the whole NWO thing. That's what spiked things up, and it's not like Sting wasn't integral in that whole situation, too, because then a few months down the line after he was the disgraced babyface, and he came back as the Crow, and honestly, it's all perspective, because when you think of a wrestler or where you think of a sports, you know, an athlete of some sort, you automatically affiliate them with something. Like, you affiliate Joe Montana with the 49ers, even though he was with the Chiefs for a couple years. You affiliate Gretzky with Oilers, like I was saying. You affiliate Favre with the Packers. Did they make a big splash when they went to their other place? Sure. But it didn't necessarily make them the franchise in the mind of the fans, because when people say, who was the best Vikings quarterback, a lot of them might not say Favre. Most of them will probably say Fran Tarkenton, because Favre was there for, like, you know, a half a sandwich. And it's like, how do you quantify it? So I think Ronda's a good argument because she's a good brand within herself, but it needs more time than, what, 8 months, 4 months since her first match?
Okay, ooh, fair enough. My counter. Oh, go ahead, Greg.
I was gonna say,
we'll be
this is what I
night.
Asked for. This is what I asked for, bringing you guys on here, wasn't it? Like, you guys can just go, and that's a good thing. I could talk about eating a sandwich. I could eat a sandwich and just let you guys talk. This is great. This is the least amount of work I ever have to do. This is fantastic. So it's funny. I was gonna hit you guys with one of these.
Shut up.
I didn't even have to, though. I just started talking. I think it's funny because I think, listening to both of you, even if I just drew my conclusions from what the two of you were saying and not my experience, which it falls in line with what you're saying, Ronda is the biggest star in WWE. When we talk about star, that's defined by the world. She is the biggest star in WWE. Roman Reigns is the biggest WWE star. And so they're both, their stars shine bright. They're the top two focused, you know, things focused on in the company, with Braun Strowman being number three. I think where the argument truly lies is defining the phrase face of the company. And what does that mean to be the face of the company? Is that just the biggest star in the company? Because then it would be Ronda. Is that the biggest WWE star? Because then it would be Roman. Because Ronda is still not really a WWE star, by using Hollywood terms. Like, she's a star. But, and even we talked about, you know, people got to know her from the movies versus UFC. The amount of promotional push that the UFC gave Ronda Rousey was huge and drew non-UFC fans into the UFC. And WWE has actually benefited from the amount of money that Dana White and the UFC at the time put into Ronda Rousey. To me, Platt, as I know you're getting talking, the bigger question is, what defines face of the company?
That's a good argument. And I think where you said Ronda is the biggest star, and the reason I say that is because she is the one person in the company that is positioned to bring in eyeballs that aren't already watching the product. Like, she is the most opportunity to bring in people that maybe they've lapsed, maybe they've never even watched wrestling. But when somebody hears, oh, Ronda Rousey, I know her, she was UFC. Maybe I'm like Balls. I remember her from those shitty Expendables movies. But either way, it arouses my curiosity enough that I'm interested to turn on the channel on USA, or maybe even purchase the network. I get a free month. What the hell? She's fighting somebody. I'll tune in and see what she's talking about. And as much as I love Roman, and I love Roman, I'm an unapologetic Roman mark, I don't think he's there yet in terms of star power. So when I say face of the company, I mean the person that's able to bring in the casual viewer and draw the most money. And I still feel like that's Ronda Rousey.
Balls?
Using that thought process, it's
you don't have
interesting.
To. If you don't like that. If you don't like that thought process, don't use it. Dispel it.
No,
it's okay.
No. I mean, just using the concept of who brings in the most outside eyes and that people aren't already watching. It's odd because one has to kind of make an argument that it's neither of these two, and it's still Cena or the Bellas, because the Bellas have their reality shows. They've been on the Nickelodeon show. Like, they literally reach out to the kids constantly, and Cena did the voice for that crappy Bull movie or whatever the hell it was called. But like,
hey, Ferdinand was out. I never saw it. I can't even defend it.
Shut up. Exactly. But, like, it was a decent kid's book, but yeah, it was a decent kid's book, but I didn't see the movie either. I'm just assuming it was cringy. But regardless, I'm just getting at, like, they have a lot of star power. Hell, even The Miz has a decent amount of reach outside of WWE. So if you go by star power, yeah, it's hard to argue that Ronda and shit, we can even throw Brock out there, and that they're the two biggest ones, because UFC was hot as hell since, like, you know, 2004 up until last couple years when they started not having personalities, so then they started to struggle. So anybody that's kind of come out in that time, be it like Tito Ortiz or even fucking Chuck Liddell, would draw eyes. And it's just because people know the name. So Ronda, by default, using that thought process of who brings in the most attention from outside sources, yes, it's Ronda, because she can just automatically get on ESPN or any sports show because she's Ronda fucking Rousey. But I'm still using the perspective of who do you affiliate with Raw? Who, when you think Raw or when you hear the name, what do you think them as? And Charlotte's, Roman's, Seth, those are WWE people. Ronda still isn't a wrestling personality yet. Ronda's her own kind of microcosm of UFC, judo, acting, and now wrestling, and just she's her own, like, monster. And it's a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong, and I enjoy watching it, but I just can't marry those two up.
Well,
it's
the thing
true.
Is, man, the people that you name, though, you name Cena, you name the Bellas, you name the Miz, and they are all stars in their own right, but they're also WWE creative stars. So in other words, if it was not for the WWE, the argument could be made, especially when it comes to the Bellas and to the Miz, I think Cena would have been successful at whatever he chose, because he just has that work ethic, that he's just built like that. But when it comes to the other ones that you named, if it wasn't for the WWE, they wouldn't have had those other opportunities. The difference is, Ronda came into the WWE already having a name, so she's going to bring extra eyeballs into the company. Because, like I said earlier, to start this whole debate or argument, you know, the WWE is pretty stagnant, especially when it comes to the male audience. Like, the people that are watching WWE have always been watching WWE, and they're not bringing any new eyeballs into the product. Ronda brings new eyeballs into the product, and you use the analogy of Joe Montana with the Chiefs. He made the Chiefs relevant. Like, whether good or bad, right or wrong, that little 2-year run he had with the Chiefs, it made them relevant. I mean, the best they did was get to the AFC Conference Finals, but he made the Chiefs relevant because Montana was there. Wayne Gretzky, he made the Kings relevant because he went there, because he was Wayne Gretzky. And regardless of where that star power comes from, it's still star power, and it resonates, and it carries over to wherever they go, and it brings money, and it brings eyeballs, and it brings attention. And that's what Ronda does.
Which I didn't disagree with, but just Montana, you're never going to say he's the best Chief to ever play the game. He's still a 49er in most people's minds. Gretzky's still an Oiler. Yes, the argument can be made for the Kings because it was roughly the same amount of time, but he's still an Oiler to most people because that's where he had his most success. That's where he started. That's where he spent most of his career. And it's all a perspective thing. Like, I'm not discrediting you. I said, from your perspective, you're right. I just can't marry those two together because it's too foreign in the fact that she's such a giant force of nature by herself, and what she brings from everything she's already dabbled in, and like Greg said, with all the money that UFC poured into her already, like, WWE doesn't even really have to try for her to be huge. She doesn't even speak well on the microphone, and people pop for her. She could talk about eating half of a sandwich, throwing it on the ground, and making peanut butter out of clay, and that's all that matters. And people are like, yeah, we make
that
peanut butter
probably,
out of clay too.
That would probably be her best promo she's ever done too. But go on. But you're kind
you
of proving
my
point. But go on, yeah.
And like, no, from your perspective, you're not wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just from the perspective of face of a franchise, it's most. To a lot of sports fans, to a lot of people, it's who they affiliate something with right away. And Favre, Packer, Roman, WWE, Ronda, UFC. Like, people don't really see her as WWE yet because it hasn't been long enough. And it's just not established enough. So give her more time. Then, like, a year down the line, you'll be 100% right, most likely, Platt. But right now, I think it's too early.
I would agree with that. I do think that people look at Ronda Rousey still as a UFC star in WWE, not as a WWE star, whereas you don't look at Roman Reigns that way or so many other people that are involved in the company. I definitely think that's a great point to make, and completely agree with that. So a couple things I want to talk about real quick before we move into our 3-minute warning. We had a new show debut, and I know, Andrew, you had a chance to listen to it last week, and that is, of course, Ringside Revolution, which I encourage a lot of people to listen to. And a lot of people did listen to it, by the way, just to point that out. It is an all-female cast. We do have MJ Santi and Brittany Lynn, more commonly referred to on the show as Britt and MJ. And it's an all-female cast, but they're not just talking about women's wrestling. Yeah, they opened their first show talking about women's wrestling, but really they were there to talk about wrestling in general. And Andrew, I know you had a chance to listen to it and give a listen to the ladies. What'd you think?
It wasn't bad. For a first episode, it was really good. Like, you could tell they were still working out their consistency and their flow, but it was nice. You got to learn a little bit about, you know, each of the hosts and how MJ likes to overreact to things and punch her husband in the face when she gets excited. So that's funny. So there's a little personality added. They add a little more perspective than just, you know, the quote-unquote, we're girls, we like wrestling too. Like, they know what the hell they're talking about. And yeah, you could definitely tell people were listening because I think it stayed in our top 10 trending and, like, stayed in the top 5, like, all weekend. So I'm like, it's like, yeah. I kept looking over, like, that's number 1, it's number 2 today, or okay, now it's back to 1. It's like, okay, people were very receptive to it, and they did a damn good job for being, you know, episode number 1.
Yeah, social media is an amazing thing, and women are hot right now, like you said, but they're not doing it just because they're women, just because women are hot right now, just because of women's wrestling. This is something they've wanted to do, and Britt's done it before, and it was MJ's first time, and they did a great job. And so they're going to be, you know, one of our signature programs moving forward, and it's well-deserved. Given where, like, I think back to the first podcast I ever did, and if Patrick were here, he would tell you, we were terrible. Like, our first show ever was just horrible. And sometimes I listen to it, and it, you know, brings you back down to earth. And they were nothing like that. Like, their first show was far better than the first effort that Patrick and I ever put in. Probably the first 6 months worth of efforts that we put in. So definitely
give yourself
more
credit than that, Greg.
Okay, maybe the first 3 months of shows that Patrick and I did. We did get to have, you know, Kerry Silk and Adam Pearce on in the first month of broadcasting. So I'll take that and be happy with that. But also, if you're listening on live on Tuesday, or even if you're listening on demand, Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Sirius Brad, who of course had a great show last week with Mike Quackenbush as they were talking about the King of Trios tournament coming up this weekend. I know All In this weekend, but check out the King of Trios if you get a chance. 16th annual. It's a big deal. This week, he brings out a veteran of the independent wrestling scene, Big Bacon Brad Hollister. And Platt, even if you don't know Brad Hollister, you got to love the nickname Big Bacon.
Oh, yeah, I'm all in, pun intended, as soon as I heard the words Big Bacon. Like, yeah, I could smoke a bag of that, even though I don't eat bacon anymore because I stopped eating pork. But, yeah, that's a great name. That's up there with cheeseburger. You know what I mean? That's just a great name.
Who would have thought that a Charlie Haas promo would stick a guy with the name of Cheeseburger for pretty much the rest of his career? So, well done. Then, granted, we called Andrew Balls, and now that's going to be his name for the rest of his life. So, that's understandable.
But I kind of wanted to piggyback off what you all were saying, though, with Ringside Revolution. Shout out to those young women, man. They had a phenomenal show. They did a great job, and they are picking up a lot of traction on social media, and I think that's a cool thing. And it's cool to see, you know, wrestling fans evolve because, you know, wrestling fans haven't always been the most evolved species of human being. You know what I mean? When you think of wrestling fans, you think of Captain Caveman types. But it's really cool, and I love having that feminine energy and that feminine perspective to this business of professional wrestling. That's just a really cool dynamic. And, I mean, frankly, man, number one, and they shouted us out too, Pot is War, so I got to give them props for that. So, it's only right that I return the favor. But it really was. I listened to it. It really was a cool show. I mean, you guys should check it out, man. Like, if you enjoy the misogyny of Pot is War, you have to check out the Ringside Revolution because life is all about balance, baby. So you got to get that balance in there. And, I mean, they're cool chicks, and they know their shit. And you can't take that away from them. And it's a great show, and it's only going to continue to get better.
Exactly. No, 100%. Before we get into the 3-minute warning, and we've already teased what that's about just a little bit, I got a treat. I was able, you know, while you guys – the great thing about you guys and talking, and I can just let you go, is I can actually find, edit, and upload a song while you're actually doing that. So I do appreciate the fact you gave me the opportunity. This harkens back to something we talked about 30 minutes ago. See if you can pick it out. All right, what is it?
Silk Stocking, the theme song.
Exactly. Good old Silk Stocking.
Yeah.
So easy to find. I love you. YouTube is just amazing. Not that I downloaded that off of YouTube and uploaded it to Blog Talk Radio. I would never do that. Not in a million years. Come on now.
Of course not.
I don't believe someone would even threaten me.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain.
Yeah.
Triple Mania main eventer, Rich Swann. Oh, actually, not main eventer. He wasn't in the main event, Andrew, before you correct me.
Semi-main.
I know it wasn't the main event. Semi-main. Still in the Mega Championship match. Which, did they call it the Mega Championship? That was a conversation piece for me and Joe, who's our brand new Mexico correspondent over at thechairshot.com.
Yes, it's called the Mega Championship.
That's what I thought. Just wanted to make sure. So... very, very good. Now this is the hard thing about having so many sound bites. Now I got to scroll to find the right one. But it is a show tradition. There really is only one way that we can try to sum things up. And, of course, I found it.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here.
3-minute warning theme song, by the way, not a product of WWE, should be in the Hall of Fame, musical composer Jim Johnson, Oh No, by a little-known group called Two Skinny Jays that I fell in love with in college. And when they first debuted that theme song, I went crazy because I immediately recognized it. So when real life and wrestling intertwine, it is our 3-minute warning. It never only lasts 3 minutes. But this weekend, there's kind of a big deal going on in Chicago. There's a convention to go along with it called StarCast, but the event is on Saturday night. Andrew will be covering it for the Chair Shot. I'll be doing live updates as well via the news feed, as Eric will be off drafting his fantasy football team and a well-deserved day off to do that because he definitely works hard and earns that and more, the opportunity to go his yearly tradition and do his live draft for fantasy football. But we got you covered with All In. It is this Saturday night. And it's a really, really important show, both in the world of professional wrestling, independent wrestling, even to the WWE. I know you guys are going to be watching, but what does it mean to the world of wrestling? And we'll let you start, Andrew, because you're so immersed as well. Looking at All In this weekend, I mean, what do you want to see? Not even what you want to, just All In. Like, you could talk about All In. What's important to you about All In?
Oh, and here I was going to try to spin it into talking about, you know, Marufuji's 20th anniversary show that's on the same day at Sumo Hall against Hideo Itami. Because if I could do anything, I'd watch that, but Noah doesn't have a streaming service. So,
of course you would.
Unfortunately.
Plus, are you upset? Hold on, Balls. Are you upset that Tokyo 3K doesn't have a match on the All-In card?
I know. Chico doesn't. Tokyo 3K. Kushida. Like, they're just overlooking all of this great talent, and I don't understand.
You forgot Ubushi.
Ubushi. Yeah. Close cousin to Shayna Baszler. Yes, we remember that one.
Hey, man, if you guys don't catch these references, you need to go back and check out Pod is War. And check out our archived episodes as well, so you can kind of get these references. But go ahead, please.
Definitely.
Continue.
But yes, that the self-deprecating Japan plug obviously was just so you could have some fun. So I'm glad you jumped right the fuck on that.
You thought I wouldn't?
No, I'm glad you did, because it's perfect for your character.
I'm proud of you though, man. Like, you literally put the ball on the tee for me, so I'm proud of you for that, man. Pat yourself on the back. If I could see you, I'd give you one of those virtual hugs. But so pat
yourself
on the back
again.
Right now.
See, that's another reference, but we got to stop that reference. Like, fuck your virtual hugs. Like, I don't want a hug, man.
Why is it the people that need the most love accept the least love, man? What's that about?
It's a defense mechanism. What can I say? Anyway, so, yeah, All In. Like, the historical significance of this is actually pretty high, and they've kind of touched on it. The NWA has been doing, like, their little All In 10 pounds of gold kind of coverage throughout, and had some people talk about it, and everything the NWA has presented on this road to All In is really honestly just very, very factual. Like, it's the biggest indie show I think in like the history of modern wrestling. Now I don't always agree with him, and he's not always great for information, but Meltzer has said that it's the first thing since the TV WCW Monday Night War kind of situation that there was ever something that sold this well to make this big of a boom and, you know, have this kind of hype going around it in the States. So, I mean, how can you discredit this? Like, even if you don't like the Bucks, even if you're not a huge fan of Cody, like, what they're doing is sending a big message to WWE, because you look at All In, and it's very similar to what Platt and I talked about on an episode of Pot is War probably a couple times, was that if all of the little indies, or whatever we want to call them, all of the non-WWE entities could get a show together, it would easily rival whatever the hell WWE wants to do, like a SummerSlam, a Mania, something like that. And All In is a big step towards that, because there's representation for everything. Impact has people there. Mexico has people there. You know, ROH, obviously, they have more involvement in it than most people are letting on. Then they've got super, like, obscure indie wrestlers that are in there. It's really nice to see, like, this indie super show basically take flight in Chicago. What do you think, Clint?
I don't want to be that guy. And, you know, it's been very impressive, everything that they've done, and all the buzz that this show has coming around it, and it's awesome, and it's great for wrestling. I question how independent, and I put that in quotation marks, that this show really is, especially when you consider that, you know, all the different federations and all the different guys that kind of float between these different federations or promotions that have a hand and a stake in this. So I question that. Plus, it's professional wrestling, so everything is a work. Even if it's a shoot, it ends up getting worked into the work. So I do question how independent this actual thing is. But it just on the surface, or kayfabe, this is a really huge deal. And it's great. And, you know, I'm a Bucks fan. I love Cody. I love the fact that he was able to step out on his own and try to make his own name for himself. And it is a big deal. And it's got the wrestling world buzzing. And at the end of the day, anything that has wrestling fans excited, anything wrestling related that has a buzz, a rising tide raises all ships. And I do like that, how all these non-WWE entities, as you spoke of them, Balls, you know, the New Japan, AAA, MLW, TNA, TNA, NWA, OPP, Impact, AAA, CCIB,
you got your stick
DCYB,
and I'm proud of you.
YMCA, whatever they want to call themselves this week. All these entities do kind of share talent, and they seem to have a decent working relationship, which I think that's cool. It's almost going back to the territory days. But, yeah, I question the validity of the quote-unquote independent thing that this is treading on. I look at it like this. I like to hearken hip-hop to professional wrestling because there's a lot of crossover in those two worlds. I look at it like Chance the Rapper. A couple of years ago, probably about two or three years ago now, he came out with a mixtape that, you know, did a big job, and it had a lot of buzz behind it. And the whole buzz behind it was he was a quote-unquote independent artist. Okay, he's an independent artist, but his album came out on Apple Music. So you're not an independent artist. You're signed to Apple. Like, that's just what this is. And I'm not going to play your gimmick or anything like that because it was a good win. And it was a good album, too. So I'm not trying to take away his steam or anything like that. But that's kind of how I feel about this All In thing. Like, I question the quote-unquote independence of it. But that being said, a non-WWE event here in the United States, in Chicago, nonetheless, which is a hotbed for wrestling, that is able to generate this type of buzz and this type of interest, and it's going to have the entire wrestling world watching it this weekend, it's got to be a win for the genre overall.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's a win for the genre, but you're not wrong. And anybody who thinks you're wrong is just you know, they're delusional.
They're a mark.
Yeah, this is definitely a work, and this whole business is a work. This is a Ring of Honor show. It's been outed by multiple outlets as a Ring of Honor show. That's just the way it is, and that's okay. Ring of Honor, you know, is partnering with New Japan. They sold out Madison Square Garden. Like, what they're doing is amazing, and I'm excited that they're able to do that, and I think we should all be super excited about what they're able to put together. But just remember what it is. It's a Ring of Honor show, and that's 100%, you know, and I love the fact, and I'm going to watch it, and I'm excited to watch it. It's a Ring of Honor show, and it's super significant because it is still the closest anybody's come, because Ring of Honor on a regular show isn't going to throw together all the talent that Andrew listed and that Platt listed from all the different companies. But with Cody and the Bucks as the front men for it, you can do that, and you can pull that off, and you can pull off a match like, you know, Kenny Omega versus Pentagon Jr. and some of the other amazing matches that are on this show. I want to shift into the actual show itself because this is a big deal, and all the eyeballs of the wrestling world are going to be on it, which kind of stinks for a show like King of Trios we were talking about before, because it happens to be the same weekend as All In. And it's, you know, given the international talent you fly in for something like King of Trios, you can't just move it. And so it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is for this coming weekend. Andrew, you and I talked a little bit off air throughout the day about some things, but looking at All In this weekend, I mean, do you expect any big surprises?
Ooh, any big surprises? That's interesting.
I think people are expecting something to happen. You know, I think people expect something to go down on the show.
I mean, I think everybody's expecting CM Punk to make some kind of appearance. Maybe not jump into the over-the-budget battle royal, but everybody just assumes Chicago, he's friends with these guys, he's angry at WWE. Why wouldn't he want to bitch on live television like he usually does, because that's his shtick? But I don't know. As you alluded to, we were talking off air, and it was you brought up an interesting point, and I'd really like to hear Platt's take on this too. What if the Kevin Owens "I quit" was just WWE's kind of kayfabe, not kayfabe way of allowing him to do All In and just make an appearance or do something there as a way to be like, look, I really quit because now Kevin Steen shows up at All In. Platt, what do you think of that?
That's funny you say that, man, because I was up here contemplating and thinking about what I was getting ready to say, and I was going to say I wouldn't be surprised if Neville made an appearance, and I was also going to bring up Kevin Owens. Like, I wouldn't be totally shocked if he did make an appearance at this show, because they are playing up this "I quit" angle. So that's funny that you say that. I guess great minds, or at least mediocre minds, think alike.
Well, Craig brought it up first, so hey.
It's very possible, in my opinion. WWE has done this before, and if you listen to shows like Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, which I've started listening to, some random episodes, you'll ask him, you know, why did you let so-and-so, usually it's ECW, why did you let so-and-so appear in ECW? And he would say, you know, ECW was important to them. They wanted ECW to be successful, and in order to do that, you know, they would sometimes funnel talent. They also funneled money, but they would funnel talent in. If Vince thinks it's something that's good for the wrestling business, and in the long run, that happening is good for WWE, he would do it. And so it wouldn't shock me if they let Kevin Steen. I don't think he'd wrestle a match or anything like that. And look, he's still under contract to WWE. That hasn't changed. But if he were to show up and show up at All In and maybe in the crowd, maybe do some kind of run-in, cut some kind of promo, who knows, that's a big – it's a big deal, and it could be a very big deal for everybody involved. It wouldn't, like, I could totally see Triple H, and I use this exact phrase with Andrew, calling up, you know, Cody Rhodes in the show that was sold out to congratulate him. We've already heard rumors that happened, and basically saying, hey, you know what, if you need something, let me know. We'll give you a big moment, and that's something that the WWE is not above or not outside the realm of possibility for them to do. So it could be very interesting. Maybe it could also be the fact that they realized, especially with this current lawsuit between CM Punk and Colt Cabana, maybe Punk was like, you know what, he was going to do it now, because he's not exactly the favorite son of everybody. In fact, his signing this weekend is going to be very interesting. Maybe they're saying, okay, we need to pull something else out, and maybe they kind of called in a favor. Who knows? It's just there's a lot of possibilities. And even just the thought of it makes the show even more interesting.
And that's the great thing about professional wrestling, man, is the speculation. Like, that's what really gets your juices flowing, because it's like, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? And that's really what makes it exciting, because ultimately, at the end of the day, in professional wrestling, nothing really changes. Like, how many big holy shit moments do we really get? But the speculation and everything that surrounds that is really what makes it fun.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely. I think that's why the last few...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that's why the last few years have been kind of stagnant, to say the least, is because when TNA kind of floundered and fell apart, there was no big crossover possibility, or no, you know, Jeff Hardy showing up on TNA or Christian, or then they take a TNA, like if AJ Styles randomly went to WWE directly because TNA was still in direct competition, like back during Monday Night War when Hall and Nash just showed up and vice versa, you know. So, yeah, the suspense is kind of what it's been missing, which is why I think people get on the WWE brand so much about being predictable or using cliches or yada, 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 because they have nothing else to work with aside from what's in-house to try to build suspense. And it's harder to do that. It's harder to manufacture your own drama when you didn't have anything really going on the outside. And now the Bullet Club kind of has given them an out, given them something to play off of, either inadvertently or advertently, you know?
Yeah.
So what matches are you guys looking forward to? Because I'm not going to lie, the Kenny Omega Pentagon Jr. match, that makes me moist. I'm looking forward to it personally.
I'll jump in real quick, because that's my favorite match on the show, and I'll be honest with you. People were kind of complaining that the card was maybe underwhelming and using phrases like that. And when you get an all-star card, which is what this is, that can sometimes happen. But, you know, with Pentagon versus Kenny Omega was long rumored for the show. To me, that match should go on last. I think it will. I know everybody's claiming it's going to be Cody and Nick Aldis. I don't think it is. I don't think Cody's going to put himself on last. I just don't see that happening. I do think it's going to be Kenny Omega and Pentagon. And politically, Kenny Omega's probably going to have to go over in that match, unless they use it to set up a rematch somewhere else down the line where Kenny can go over. Who knows? But, yeah, to me, that's the most exciting match on the show. I'm interested to see who comes out of this Battle Royal, because you could get an atypical challenger for Jay Lethal and the Ring of Honor World Championship. And there's just a lot of fun on this show and some interesting choices. But it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a show, and I'm going to really look forward to enjoying it this weekend. But, Balls, you're the expert. What are you most looking forward to here?
I mean, personally, I just like the historical aspect of Cody versus Nick Aldis, because Cody getting the belt, I think that would make him the first, second-generation wrestler to hold the belt. And it would be a nice symmetry with him and Dusty and bring that whole thing full circle and then also lead into NWA, ROH, and everybody playing nicey-nice together a little longer. But I think I also heard that the six-man with the Bucks and Bandito and Rey Mysterio and all that, I think that's going on last. Because according to there being the Elite show, which that's usually fairly consistent when it comes down to their, you know, when they're spoiling things, Omega didn't want to go on last because he was basically saying, oh, he's tired. He just had a big G1. Like, what are you doing? Like, he thought he was just going to get a jokey jobber kind of match. And then they're just like, oh, yeah, you're getting Pentagon. And he's like, that hardcore guy from TNA? Oh, God, I don't want that. So it's nice how he was kind of playing up Pentagon in a goofball kind of fucking way. But, yeah, it doesn't seem like he's going on last unless they, you know, card subject to change us. But
yeah,
either way, I mean, Rey Mysterio, you know, you can't really argue him going on last either because he's Rey Mysterio.
That's very Ring of Honor of them if they do that. I will say that, and I've already been outward saying this is a Ring of Honor show. So there you go. Full circle.
True.
That's right, baby. It's the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, my offspring, my seed, if you will, putting on a show in Chicago, Chi-Town, baby, bringing it hardcore live, baby, and I'm all in, just letting you know I'm all in, baby. Or not.
Yeah, you never know. any chance that... Hey, at least you didn't do
Greg with the hard no sell, and he's just like, nope,
yeah,
next point.
Totally.
Well, you know, it's funny because, and I'll just say it. So many podcasts out there has somebody, and sometimes there's more than one somebody on the podcast that basically does a Vince McMahon impersonation. And if you ever listen to something to wrestle with, which I just started doing, you realize they're not impersonating Vince McMahon. They're impersonating Bruce Prichard impersonating Vince McMahon, and you didn't do Bruce Prichard doing Dusty Rhodes, so I was very happy about that. So,
way to give me a backhanded compliment, sir. I appreciate it.
It was kind of
you're doing
amazing,
the same
yeah.
shit as everybody else, but at least you're coming from a different angle. Good job, Chris.
You did it better than everybody else. You did it better than everybody else. Andrew, is there any chance Pentagon wins that match?
I mean, sure, why not? Like, technically, we could always have the firing squad interfere. Like, you don't know what Tama Tonga's up to. That could be part of a surprise angle. On Jericho's podcast, he was basically alluding to the idea of, well, maybe he's not so much against working in the States now, even though he respects Vince. Maybe because things are hot and cool, and maybe the price is right, so maybe... So that could always be something. Jericho shows up and just screws him over a little bit for the cruise because I think they've got a big six-man thing where it's Jericho and the Bucks versus Cody and a few other people. I don't exactly remember. There's too many cards getting spoiled for like random big kind of indie shows. I can't keep them all straight, but there's so many moving pieces. You can't deny that Pentagon has a shot, and it's
sure.
not like the IWGP title is up. It's not like it's booked by New Japan. So as long as it's a competitive match, I don't see how that would make Omega look bad. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Definitely. Very good. So watch this weekend. Follow along at thechairshot.com. We're going to have a lot of fun together talking about this show, covering this show. It's going to be a really, really good thing. Platt, tell everybody where they can find you on the wide world of social media.
Hey, man, you guys can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlatt. Bring your questions, comments, and concerns, please and thank you. If you want to talk a little shit, I'm here for that as well, although I should let you all know your arms are too short to box with God. But if you want to take a swing at the champ, by all means, go for it. Before I get out of here again, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that make sure you guys go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official, like a referee's whistle, chair shot merchandise. Become part movement, baby. If you love what we do, we'd love you back. Show us your love. Please and thank you.
All right, Andrew, how about you?
On the Twitter, you can catch me at IWC War Chief, and you'll get plenty of chair shot updates, just personal stupid thoughts, and a lot of Japan retweets, because as Platt already put over, I'm like the bullshit, you know, chair shot bootleg Meltzer. So there we go. But the difference is, I respect all women. So I don't have a issue with Peyton Royce ever, and I don't have an issue with many women, unless they're just mean to me. Then they're just an asshole, and then I can be mean to them back because I hate them as a person, not because they're a woman. Ha ha.
Yes, but women are smart enough to see through what's the word I'm looking for? Not patronizing, you're pandering. There, yes.
What?
Yes.
Pandering? No, it was more just playful chiding at Meltzer. That's really all. I'm not pandering to them. I'm just pointing out the issue from a little bit ago. That's all that one was.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on! Trying to blow up my spot when there's no spot to fill up.
That's for you guys. Oh, wait, too low. Let me turn it up a little more. This is what you guys talk over, right? As it plays? What you guys do?
In the beginning, and then...
I did the opposite. I played it louder in the beginning, and then kind of let it play off from there.
You know, the irony is she really is talking about him. Like, that's the irony of the whole song that nobody picks up on. She's talking about him.
See, we actually end our show in a little bit of a different way.
Nice.
Hey!
Always have some fun. This was...
Nice.
A good friend of mine, Jack Jameson, who's appeared on Chair Shot shows. This is his theme. He's got many theme songs. This is his best one.
Shout out to Jack Jameson, man. Give
it all you got. Yeah, he's doing some stuff right now. He's gonna pull through. He's gonna be in a good way here soon. 100% positive of that. So good stuff today, guys.
Ooh.
Really appreciate you guys coming on. That's for sure.
Hey,
no,
hey,
that
Greg,
was fun. Thanks for the invite.
Get out of here, man. I got to hear this. My favorite soundbite in all of podcasting. The America. Fuck yeah. Can I just get one of those? Please and thank you. Please.
Of course you can.
And thank you. America. Fuck yeah. Pop. My light is complete, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh yeah, we have that one. We've got some. I mean, I've got too many of them. That's just you know, my it's like an addiction. You know, everybody's got their own addiction. There's a longer one too.
America, America, America.
You know, just keeping with the Team America thing, if I ever do this again, you should totally get Kim Jong-il's Seoronri, because even though he's Korean, it's just funny. It's just like,
We used to have more, when we first started the show, some of our sound bites were not wrestling related, and then a lot of those just kind of fell by the wayside. Maybe I'll have to bring some of those back. Patrick will probably listen to this one. I don't know why I think he will. I could just see him listening to it, and he's probably going to be like, "What? When did you re-upload the vagina one? You played America? You haven't played that in forever." Like, it's going to be a fun phone call when we have that conversation. So.
You mean fun as in actually fun, or it'll be a little whiny and you'll be like, God damn it.
we talked about how you guys got into the podcasting thing. When I moved from Connecticut to Arizona, Patrick and I would just talk about wrestling on the phone. And when I was at 411, I'll be honest, Larry Zonka and Steve Cook had a podcast. And you know I love Steve Cook. He writes for the Chair Shot. He comes on the show with me.
Yeah.
And I listened to Zonka and Cook and thought, you know, I'm so vain. I thought, I could do that. They can do that. If those two guys can do a podcast, I can do a podcast. That's what I thought. And so Patrick and I talked, and of course, it became a podcast. And we did one test run. But here's the thing. We did a test run, but we never listened to it. So we didn't see where we were messing up. That's real smart of us to do a test run and not listen to it. But that's how the Greg DeMarco Show was born. In fact, that wasn't even supposed to be the name of the show. That was just the working title. We were going to come up with another name. But we did a test run on Sunday and the real first show that following Tuesday. And so it just stuck. And as Balls knows, I kept trying to change the name. And it always just came right back to this one. So I've
stopped trying to change the name. Since the last one that I thought was going to stick ended up being already taken by somebody. So,
yeah.
What can you do?
And get well soon, Patrick, seriously. And just giving you a little heads up, man, I hear that drinking raw cranberry juice really helps when you're having urinary tract infections. So
it does.
Again, man, on behalf of Chairshot, get well soon, brother. We love you.
You have a vagina!
I gotta play out. I've already used all the show ending music, so now I gotta play Silk Stockings. Guys, great job today. I appreciate it. Hopefully, later this week, everyone will get a chance to listen to Pod Is War, where these two guys just kill it each and every week. If not, go back in the archives, check it out. Even if the topics have already passed, the star of the show is not the topic. The star of the show is Andrew and Chris and the conversations these guys have. And that's what's purely entertaining. It's an entertaining show first, a wrestling show second. So go out and check it out. Thank you guys so much. Sign on. One last thing. Platt, then Andrew. Go.
Hey, smoke weed every day.
Go out to Real C Platt on Twitter. Balls.
Japan. Tamara Fuji's 20th anniversary and Stardom's next 5-star Grand Prix show are all on the 1st of September also. Watch more than All In. Japan.
Oh my goodness. I love the fact that you're like the one guy who was like, watch more than All In. There's other things besides All In. You're going to watch All In. But I do love it.
Shut up.
There goes Andrew Snowflake Balls Belaz. Thank you for listening. We're going to have I thought this music was going to keep playing. It didn't. So we're just going to – I'm just going to pick a random one, send you guys home.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.